Hello, everyone, and welcome to Griplock, Foundation Disc Golf's weekly podcast. I'm Hunter, joined as always by Trevor. Connor's out sick today. Partied a little too hard at the Super Bowl last night.
Yeah.
Nah, probably just had a bad sausage ball. but we're going to kick it off with a Patreon question of the week. The All-Star event is coming this weekend. We're going to do a little All-Star event preview. Trevor's Trivia, the Q Series is officially announced, the Pro Tours Qualification Series. They also updated their end-of-season awards, and we're going to put in our predictions for the MPO Top 10 and FPO Top 5 preseason. Get the ball rolling with that. But first, quick word from our sponsors. 2024 is here and in full swing, and that means it's time for New Year's resolution check-in with our friends at Manscaped. Newsflash, it's never too late to level up your grooming game and keep yourself tamed. Manscaped's new Lawnmower 5.0 Ultra is every man's cheat code to look good, feel good, and turn the page on confidence this year. Whether you're going for a trim or that clean-shaven look, this trimmer has got you covered. Trusted by over 10 million men worldwide, now is your time to get a grip on your grooming with our exclusive offer. Go to manscaped.com and use code GRIPLOCK for 20% off plus free shipping. Let me introduce the MVP of 2024, Manscaped's fifth generation lawnmower. It's not just a trimmer. It's your grooming sidekick. It's equipped with two skin-safe blade heads, a standard one for taking a little off the top, and a new foil blade to go smooth wherever your heart desires. And did I mention it's waterproof? Because a trim in the shower is the only way to start the day. Let's face it, resolutions might come and go, but a well-groomed you is here to stay thanks to Manscaped. So don't forget to get 20% off and free shipping with code GRIPLOCKED at manscaped.com. Again, that's 20% off free shipping, code GRIPLOCKED. Embrace the new you, and definitely embrace a new trimmer, courtesy of Manscaped. So let's kick things off here with a Patreon question of the week. This comes from patreon.com/foundationdiscgolf, our Heiser Club. We have a weekly Q&A podcast over there called the Heiser Club Mailbag. And this is one of the questions. I thought it was an interesting one. It was from Kent Bontrager. He said, hypothetical situation. The Pro Tour has banned baskets and needs an alternative catch device to use. What are you coming up with? Can't pick basketball hoops, but how sick would that be?
It wouldn't be that sick.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, take that, Kent.
Yeah, take that, Kent.
I don't know. The basket's perfect, right? It's the best. Are we allowed to use the basket? We can't use the basket design at all, or is it just, we just need to replace chains?
Just an alternative catch device, however you want to take that.
What? Because I like, I think you had said, like, the idea of using a net that makes it a little more one-sided is interesting. Because that would be like, I don't know, disc golfers already get so worked up about the idea of obstacles in the circle that don't let them putt from exactly where they landed conveniently. So imagine making the basket, imagine every basket was in a spider tree where like there was only one spot you wanted to land. I mean,
it'd be an interesting dynamic to the game if you're like, well, if you go deep, you literally don't have a putt.
I think about this, okay? Right now, disc golf is a game where you're basically, the disc can drop into the basket, but basically you're scoring by getting the disc to land, like go into the basket horizontally, right?
Yeah.
That's why people say, oh, if it's an ace, it was a bad shot.
Yep.
How about this? We take your net or whatever it is, and now the disc has to fall through it.
Okay? So like a basketball hoop, kind of.
Not a basketball hoop, though. Just think about it as a
net. Just like a ring with a net.
It doesn't even have to have anything in it. It can just literally be a hula hoop. Okay, but the idea is you got to get it to drop in it. So now, just like golf, we have to get the object to go down into the target. So now an ace, if you threw a spike hyzer and it went in, that's the perfect
shot. What about just a basket, just take off the top apparatus? Like just the basket part. Just the cage.
Yeah, that's it. That's all it is. This is what Ken Climo wanted.
More touch. Need more touch.
Needs more touch.
It would be very interesting dynamic of like,
imagine what would putting look like. I think putting would look similar, but more on hyzer. And
Here's an idea. We just bury it. It's just a hole. It's like foot golf.
Now we're talking.
Just a hole in the ground.
Games played on the ground now.
You can throw
more rollers.
Rollers.
More sliders.
Yeah.
Back upside down disc just became the best shot ever. That might be how people putt. They might be sliding them like shuffleboard.
Yeah, because then the texture of the grass matters.
You got to actually read greens now. There's break.
Yeah.
We're back. Putts have to stay in contact with the ground. Let's take it a step further.
I don't know if we go that far.
No, now we're...
Because I like the idea of like you try to plop one. If you're trying to plop it like cornhole style, if the hole can't be too big, but if you're trying to plop it cornhole style, like a 25-footer could be... could be interesting.
It's just crazy to think like whenever the disc golf was invented, obviously like all of the early disc golfers, like they were so obsessed with the idea of the frisbee and how it flew that they were never going to make the game like this. But imagine if they had decided like, okay, once you get in within the circle, the way you putt is by sliding the disc on the ground, kind of like golf. And like that's how our sport was. It was a big hole and you had to push it on the ground and get it to slide. And so like if you were playing in certain terrain, it would be super hard.
You know why this will never work? This will never work because of the basket market. The manufacturers would never let it happen.
Big DGA will never let it happen. Yeah.
Well, because you don't need them anymore.
How are they going to pay all those rookies?
To install a course, all you would need is
dig a hole.
Some concrete. Or not even concrete. You just put a little post in the ground if you want. Post Malone. And then a little dig a hole.
It's true. No, yeah, it's...
Instead of having to pay $10,000 for baskets.
It's a good thing that the basket prices came down. Where now you can very, very affordingly... is that a word? Affordingly?
Sure.
Definitely not. You can very easily stay on budget and get a basket for like a reasonable price. But when I was first getting in, it wasn't necessarily that way, especially if you wanted something brand name. And there were already a number of people DIYing baskets because it's not rocket science. Yeah. It's a basket. Like if you, especially if you had any kind of welding background, you were really set. But how big the sport is now, if those baskets wouldn't have got more reasonable, imagine all those COVID boomers, like the DIY plans would have got too good. It would have shut things down.
It would have been something.
People would have just got too powerful. I was just hanging sheets in my house to like, you'd hang a sheet and then like tie it off at the bottom and create a pocket. And that's what I used to put into before I had a basket.
Yeah. I never did. I just set a pillow up on my bed.
I did that one too.
I had a basket, but it was like nighttime. I don't want to go, or too cold. Don't go outside, whatever it may be. Brody Smith. I would just put into a pillow on my bed.
Yeah. I used to do that. And
I go check something. You keep the people entertained.
Yeah. No, I would be in my bedroom watching YouTube disc golf videos because that was like basically my life. And I would throw like 10-foot putts into my pillow because that's all I had to test a new grip or whatever and think to myself like...
You never missed.
I just solved putting.
Yeah.
Like how I could...
Pillow putting, I'm Ricky Wysocki. If you put a pillow up and I'm just hitting the pillow, I don't miss.
Putting is so stupid because like if Connor was sitting in that chair that he normally sits in right now, 15 feet away.
I'm never missing him.
I would never, ever, ever not hit like him. Yeah. And he's not even as wide as a basket.
Yeah.
Putting is so stupid.
Yeah, you got to take the brain out of putting.
I hate it.
This upcoming weekend, we have our first taste of disc golf, the All-Star event. I'll be straight with you. I can't find a ton of information because when DGPT 2024 All-Star, when they like came out with this, they were talking about like some people, and I'm sure this week is when we're going to find out this information, but they originally had said like there's going to be some people just doing distance, you know, some people doing like putting, like the skills challenge. It's not just going to be the team, and the team is going to be more focused on because they're focused on individual prizes in each category, then doubles on Saturday, singles on Sunday. So, like, Friday is going to be more fun. You might have, like, Double G or David Wiggins Jr. might show up to do, like, distance type stuff.
Yeah.
Can't find a ton of information on that now. So, what the format is that we're going to be basically judging this weekend on is basically they're going to play some type of doubles and singles, and that's that. Because instead of counting skills challenge towards the overall team point, putting distance, accuracy are separate exhibition events with small additional touring pros.
Yeah, those,
we don't have to factor that in. This is just like head-to-head teams, doubles, singles is what we're looking at. So we have, for MPO, Team Isaac. Isaac Robinson is the captain of that team. He has drafted Ezra Robinson, Gannon Burr, Cole Radalin, Kyle Klein, and the Goose, Aaron Gossage. That's Team Ezra. Whereas Team Calvin Heimberg has drafted Ricky Wysocki, Matty O, Anthony Barella, James Proctor, and Chris Dickerson, who is filling in for Eagle McMahon, who is out, not due to injury in the sense of he re-injured anything. He just was going to play lefty.
Yeah.
And basically was like, you know, this is a team event. As much fun as it would be, I don't want to hold the team back playing lefty. So I'm just going to wait and not and sit out. So... not an additional injury, even though
he is out.
I would
have been more
out.
Inclined to watch if he would have.
Yeah, him playing lefty is electric, but I understand what he's saying of like, I don't want to hold my team back because obviously him playing lefty is not going to be as good as Chris Dickerson.
I like that they're doing the exhibition events the way they are because like it's fun to just bring in specialists. I think that's cool. I think their best chance of making this really fun is... you can't spread it out too much. Like, if you're going to get people to tune in for All-Stars, they're not going to watch, like, multiple rounds, I feel like. You need to do one 18-hole round, and you cut down each team by one player and do collegiate doubles. 4-on-4, collegiate doubles,
two players.
One round.
Yeah,
That would be super... I would 100% watch that. Because you can sell me for the All-Star thing, and every sport struggles with it, you can sell me on one round where everybody's playing in that round. So I can see every All-Star on one card, basically.
Yeah, just one thing.
You can sell me on that super easy. Whenever you spread it out and like in years past, you'd be like, okay, well, I got to watch. Do I want to like see these guys playing or these guys playing? Like, just try to make it into one product. I feel like that's the best thing you can do. And like, yeah, that's what I'd like to see.
I mean, I'm excited just because we're going to watch discs fly again.
That's basically what the All-Star, they basically, that's their biggest play is, right, is that we
because you'll get to see
golf.
Gannon with Discmania.
Right.
You know, you'll get to see, I don't know if anyone else on here moved. I don't think so. Ezra, Isaac, Ricky, Matt, no. No one else moved. But Gannon with Discmania is the big draw, obviously. Eagle with MVP would have been a big draw. But, you know, it's going to be a fun weekend to at least just watch some. And doubles, always fun. Singles will just be regular disc golf. But what will be interesting is it will give us a little taste because, like, singles, somewhat competitive, at a course the Pro Tour's at next weekend.
That's the most interesting thing, honestly, is we're literally going to get a preview. And
these guys are going to have an advantage going to the first event of the year.
Get
like
a nice little,
if
nice
you didn't
practice.
Like Calvin Heimberg before, which you probably should have, it's the throw down the mountain course. If you didn't like him before, you got to like him after this weekend because he's going to have, and Ricky's in a similar boat. They're just going to have more experience under a tournament pressure on this Olympus disc golf.
We haven't gotten any updates with the Paul McBeth situation.
We have not.
Injury. That's what I'm curious about. Cause like normally I would, regardless of his injury, I'd be like, well, he just had a kid, maybe start the tour a little bit later, but like it's at his course.
It's here. Yeah.
So I would feel like that's an event he'd want to play if he could. I just haven't heard anything about that either way.
No. So with the doubles and singles, which team are we liking here for the All-Star weekend?
Honestly, I looked at it like because I knew we would talk about this, and I was just like, if you really sit here, maybe somebody has deeper analytics, and but like if you really sit there and like try to tell me that one team is significantly better than the other, then like you're crazy.
I think eye test.
That is a coin toss.
Eye test, it makes you immediately go, oh, red team's going to dominate.
Yeah, because but you read Calvin and Ricky right off the bat.
That's what I'm saying. You read Calvin, Ricky, Matteo, AB, James Proctor, Dickerson.
But Gannon Burr and Isaac won
that's the
as
thing
many
is you,
events probably last
if
year.
If you look at it, it's like the forgettable All-Stars are over on blue team.
Yeah.
Like Cole Rudolin is filthy.
Well,
he won Ledgestone.
You got some. You
Gannon
got some
Burr is arguable, could be argued as the best player in the world.
Well, I think Ezra and Gossage are the two most underrated players on tour.
Exactly. And then Kyle Klein, reigning U.S. champ. Yeah. Isaac Robinson, two-time major champ last year. You have three of the four majors on one card.
You got one team that can win majors and another team that can't, you know, except Dickerson. You know, leave him out of this, I guess.
Yeah, but that's fair. That's a fair statement there. But I feel like a lot of people were commenting on Facebook and stuff and just like, I mean, red team's going to dominate.
That's
but
crazy
it's just the
talk.
Name recognition.
Yeah, that's
is
crazy
what it is.
Talk.
Because like, I was also, we were talking about it a little bit this morning. I was like, to be honest with you, I feel like the All-Star event would mean more to the blue team because you have some of the underrated guys that like, a good performance here, like Cole Rudolin, Ezra, Aaron Gossage. Like, I feel like they're more likely to take the the All-Star event seriously than the established names of like Calvin, Ricky, Matteo, AB.
Here's the thing: you could take the top 12 players in the world right now and arrange them in any arrangement possible, and it's still a coin toss.
Yeah,
like you could take 6 through 12 versus 1 through 6. Yeah, 1 through 6 a better team, but it's disc golf. 6 through 12 is still really good, and they could also win. Like,
so you got to pick now, though.
Who am I riding with? Yeah. Team Blue. Team Blue. I'm riding with Team Blue.
I think Team Blue takes it down.
I legitimately like Team Blue better. Like, that's just that's actually
the
how I feel.
The only tough part is I do think Calvin and Ricky are going to be better than Isaac and Gannon at the Olympus course.
Maybe.
But I do, I mean, Kyle Klein could pop up. I think it's going to be a coin toss, but I'm agreeing. I think Team Blue takes it down because I think they're going to care more.
Yeah,
I think they're skill wise both pretty
how
close.
How bad do you want
care more.
It? Is there bonuses? What do they get for this?
I think there's a little bit of bonuses. Yeah, I don't know the official thing, but now on FPO we have Team Own Scoggins, which consists of
now,
Kat
I haven't
Merch,
seen these yet. So this is first reaction for me.
Kat Merch, Henna Blomroos, Haley King, Jessica Weiss, and Macy Valadez.
Okay, that team's pretty dirty.
And then you have Team Missy, which consists of Missy Gannon, Holland Handley, Katrina Allen, Sarah Hokum, Ella Hansen, Allie Smith.
Mm. It's another really tough one.
It's a toss-up. It's a similar thing where I feel like red team has almost the bigger names in a certain sense. But
well,
like,
let's go head-to-head, okay?
Okay,
Own and Missy, coin toss.
Yeah.
Kat and Holland, Probably slight edge to Haaland.
I would agree.
But close.
Henna Blomrys versus Cat. I mean, they're the same player.
Yeah, but Henna's way more useful because in doubles, she's just an absolute masher. Yeah. Haley is better than Sarah Holcomb.
Yeah.
I would say Ella is better than Jessica, and Allie's better than Macy.
So probably slight edge red team.
Slight edge. I want to say slight edge red team. If Kat is like playing competently, red team wins. If she's not, I'll just put it on her.
That's fair.
If Kat plays well, red team wins. If Kat doesn't play well, blue team wins. It's that simple.
I
think I'm going team red, though. It's really close.
I'm riding team blue. I'm going team blue.
Team blue all the way.
Now, I don't know if these are the doubles partners, because like Haley King and Henna Blomrys, I would not pair together.
No, you would. I would split them. Henna and Owen together, and like,
yeah, I would split it up differently. So I don't know if this is the doubles partners or if they have decided that yet. But I'm gonna go with Team Blue here.
I'm a little bit bummed out that Jessica Weiss and Kat didn't get drafted on the same team. Although I guess I could argue that I'm happy they're not.
Yeah,
that's one of the only rivalries that exists in disc golf. So gotta very really true. Latch on to them.
Oh yeah, but
should we try and speak a rivalry into existence this year?
We shouldn't. Probably not. Probably a bad idea.
I'm going to speak one.
I wish.
Not like with bad blood. Just like, I'm going to say like these two players need to have a rivalry this year. I'm going to say, actually, I'll make it even easier. Maybe I will go into something.
I'd like Kristen and Paige rivalry to reignite.
I'm going to think about it and I'll get back to you with my official. Stay tuned. End of this episode. You're going to have my official rivalry announcement for 2024.
I think mine's going to be Kristen v. Paige.
That Pages already, aren't that redemption. Already kind of exists, though. I'm going to make one out of thin
air. You want
air.
Just a thin air.
It's going to come out of thin air.
Okay. Well, that's... yeah. I do wish Kristen was playing. I also do wish Paige was playing. Kristen's starting her season at Waco. I don't know if we've heard when Paige is starting hers. I don't know if she posted her tour schedule.
She might have. Or I saw Eagles the other day.
Let me see if Paige Pierce posted her tour schedule yet.
Pierce.
Career wins, look stats. Like I'm not seeing it unless she put it in a description. It doesn't look like she like made a graphic post.
Yeah,
with it. So I don't know exactly when Paige is planning to start her touring year, but it'll be interesting to see. Interesting to watch. And All Star Weekend, you can tune in this weekend on the Disc Golf Network and watch some discs fly, watch some frisbees fly. See some people with their new sponsor. Now, before we get into Trevor's trivia, I want to take this time to remind everyone. Next week, make sure the thing's on.
Are you
next
listening?
Week,
you listening?
Grip Locked is moving to the Grip Locked channel. The link's in the description down below. Make sure you're subscribed there because next Monday, the All-Star recap, and next week on Thursday, I believe, we will have the first Grip Locked preview show, new for this year, Grip Locked preview show for the chess.com invitational is all going down next week. That's going to be on Griplock's new channel. This is the last time you can watch us on the Foundation Podcast channel. We're moving to the Griplock channel next week. Make sure you're tuned in over there so you don't miss out. Audio listeners, you don't have to do anything. Audio's not going anywhere. It's going to be in the exact same feed, all that. But YouTube peeps, head over to Griplock's new channel. All right, Trevor's trivia, what we got today?
We are going to do some Who Am I's today.
I haven't done these in a while. So I've got an MPO and an FPO.
Gonna give you the clues.
Okay.
I'll give you all the clues. I mean, unless you think you can just nail it. But
I like it.
None of the clues are like dead giveaway, I feel like. So okay. We'll see how you do. So we'll start with the MPO player. Okay.
Matty-O.
Just kidding. Dang it. I'm from Austin, Texas. I've been a PDGA member since 2007. I have $243,000 in career earnings. Last season, I had 3 top fives on tour, one of those at a major, and I also made $44,000 last season. I also won on the Euro Tour last year. I have 2 career Pro Tour victories. My last was in 2022. I've been with the same manufacturer since 2008, and I just signed a new extension. Who am I?
From Austin, Texas.
Keep in mind that the Frums are based on the PDGA website, so sometimes they're not completely accurate. But
they won a Euro Tour event last year. That should really narrow it down, but it doesn't.
Those ones kind of blend into memory.
Their last Pro Tour was 2022, you said?
Correct.
So they didn't win at all last year.
Been with the same manufacturer for like 16 years.
16 year. Gosh, I don't know any Texas guys, I don't think. Then, because like Texas, I immediately think Mason Ford, Emerson Keith. And they've obviously jumped around a bunch. They just signed an extension this offseason with their guy, with their manufacturer. Is that what you said?
Yeah, through 2026.
They signed a multi-year extension with their manufacturer. I mean, I don't even have the faintest clue right now. Who won a Euro Tour event this past year?
That's probably your biggest hint. I think you can arrive at that. You can do it. It was.
I don't remember the Euro Tour.
The Crokle Open.
Who won the Crokle Open?
Think about who is over there.
That's what I'm trying to go through.
I will.
AB, Corey Ellis, Paul.
AB was in Europe.
The European Open.
Well, he's there for the European Open, but he, I didn't know he played any of the
European. I don't know if he played European. I didn't watch the European events. I saw Paul won Lusula. Was Crokle a full pro tour? No. It was just like a silver event? Because if it was a full pro
tour. No, yeah, it was a Euro tour, like one of the. But
so like, it was like a silver event.
I believe this guy beat Paul.
Joey Tamale? No, because he made way too much. He said beat Paul. There's only.
He
came to my mind
win.
First. I don't know. I don't know. I give up.
Nothing.
I don't.
Wow.
I can't. The Texas is holding me back.
I'll try and give you another hint. That what he won in 2022 was the Preserve.
Nico LeCastro?
No. Nico didn't win the Preserve.
Nico won the Preserve once.
Yeah, when was that? I think it was.
Is
like,
it? Well, it can't be Ricky Wysocki.
Mm-mm.
He won the Preserve once. Bradley Williams.
There it is.
Yeah, not got that. I never got there.
Do you remember that he was?
I forgot he was from Texas. That's what hurt me.
That
he was from Texas.
That was I for some reason I associated him with Carolina.
He, I don't think he's ever lived in Carolina. He's a Texas guy through and through.
Okay,
just completely forgot.
Got you.
I forgot he existed.
There you go. That's a tough one.
B. Will. Sorry, Bradley.
Okay, FPO player.
Okay,
from Grass Valley, California.
Jessica Weiss.
That's correct.
Yeah.
How did you know that?
Don't know. Just that was in my head somewhere. It was deep in there. You just awoke some type of memory that I don't know.
What the heck?
Yeah.
Why?
Well, that made up for my MPO.
Yeah, why did you know that?
I just knew she was from Grass Valley because something stuck out with Grass Valley that I was like, I don't know how many other pros are from there.
I think, I don't know. Okay.
That was one of the, like, just a deep part.
And they
part.
Say that we don't know FPO.
That was just a deep part of my mind.
You try to tell us we don't know FPO, we know where every single player's from.
Greg Barzi might be from there, too.
I thought that Nico was, he was in that area. Well, I guess that makes sense because they dated, I think.
Yeah, Greg Barzi from Grass Valley, too.
No. So are we going to say Grass Valley is the new capital?
I think there's something with Grass Valley. Like, I think there's been a lot of pros that came out of there or something.
Where is Grass Valley?
California. Duh.
Yes. But
what? No, maybe not. We just got Greg Barzi. He's the highest rated.
Yeah, I don't know. Grass Valley, California. I want to know, like, what area of California it's in. If my maps would load. Hello?
And Jessica Weiss is a high. So I have no idea why I knew that.
That is bizarre.
But for some reason, I knew Greg Barzi and Jessica Weiss were both from Grass Valley, California. So when you said I knew it.
Yeah, I'm impressed.
I feel better because I screwed the MPO one. So.
Yeah, you made up for it.
I made up for it.
Okay, here we go. This is. Somebody show me where this is in the maps.
I think it's SoCal.
I would imagine, right? Okay, here it is. Grass Valley is. No, it's actually not. It's actually north of Sacramento. So it's quite it's quite north. Yeah.
Interesting.
How about it? You learn something new every day. I got my rivalry, by the way.
Oh.
Aaron Gossage and Cole Radon. Can't stand each other.
They're too nice. Oh, they're too nice of guys.
Oh, that's the thing about them is on the surface,
agree,
they're
like,
such nice guys. They're such nice guys on the surface, but they can't stand each other.
I agree. Career path wise, I could see a rivalry budding, but they're too nice.
They just can't stand each
that's
other.
That's just not true.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
I just
try.
Remember I was talking to Cole the other day, and he was like, dude,
that's
if there's
true.
Anybody.
These are all
tour,
lies. Trevor is lying
stand.
With
it
every
is
word.
Aaron
right
Gossage.
Now.
And then the other day, I was talking to Aaron Gossage. He's like, dude, Cole Radon is a punk. So.
You should have picked, like, at least someone who's got, like they. I don't think they could dislike anyone on tour.
They can't stand each other.
All right.
Oh, just the sight of one another. And listen, if you're listening to this, either one of you, you have two choices right now. You can come out and deny the rumors, or you can make profit off of them. So that's up to you. The merch, I'll facilitate a pay-per-view fight. Whatever you want to do, I'm open.
So the Pro Tour announced 4 days ago they've officially launched the Q Series. We knew this was coming. It's a new path towards tour card qualification. Pro Tour is thrilled to introduce the 2024 Qualifying Series, Q Series, qualifying circuit designed to offer FPO and MPO competitors a new pathway to earn their place at the 2025 Tour. The DGPT will award 6 MPO and 4 FPO Tour cards based on the results of the Q Series. The inaugural Q Series schedule will feature multiple PGA A tiers across the United States, culminating in a November finale in the Southeast location, which will be announced soon. Here's the initial slate. More might come later. Now, what's interesting is they said they're awarding 6 tour cards. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. But then it looks like 1st through 8th get you a tour card. Oh, silver card. There's tour cards and silver cards. That's the detail I missed. Never mind. I'm stupid.
He's stupid.
It'll start in May. It goes everywhere from Colorado to Texas to Washington to Utah to Missouri to Michigan to Canada, South Carolina, and then the finals in the Southeast. This is essentially, obviously, we removed the silver events. They're still European silver events, but removed the silver events. They kept the silver logo for the Q Series. I love it. This is what I always wanted the silver events to be. It makes perfect sense. It doesn't. So I think tour card holders can play in Q Series events, but they won't earn Q Series points.
Right.
So they basically just like, if it fits into this tour schedule, which I don't think any of them really do, but if it fit into the tour schedule, like you could play just for some extra cash or something.
It. Yeah, it's exciting. I think it's interesting. The biggest thing that sticks out is the schedule. Obviously, it's pretty heavy, like out west in that direction. I mean, you've got a couple West Coast events, and then just some like Midwest, and they only really come to the East Coast for 2 events at the end. One. And then the finale. And so, but I think the more I've thought about this, it's like nobody across the country is going to be able to tour this. Like there will be a few that probably do, but like most people are not going to tour it. What this is really more than a tour is it is tryouts. And I think they want to get as many people a chance to play in this as possible, no matter where you live in the country. I think that's how you should do it. You should try and spread out as much as possible. And it looks like that's what they're doing for the most part. And so because of that, I think the model here is like you're not hopping on the Q Series to like play multiple events, try and get in that way. Like it's a tryout. You're going to go to a Q Series event and you're going to try and make it from that Q Series to the finale or get your card. Like that's really what this looks like from the outside looking in, because like they can't have enough events to like be proportional, really.
No, I wish there was a that might develop.
Yeah, I wish there were more on the East Coast, but like, I think that's the best way to perceive it.
They did say
now.
More might be added.
Yeah,
I think they're trying to structure it where like, if someone wanted to tour, they could. I think it's how they're trying. I say that, but then there's an event in Texas, and then 5 days later, an event in Washington. So maybe not.
I think there. It is.
I think it's like at least the map is in their head a little bit, because eventually they'd want the Q Series to be its own tour. Yeah. Once the Pro Tour has like way more money,
years and years.
But you got to start it somewhere.
Yeah, I think right now these are like, don't think of it as a tour or even a series, because that's the thing is like, there's not a lot of, like you won't see that many repeat players because of how spaced out these events. Think about them as individual tryouts, and it's a little easier to digest. Most of the naming in the structure is their future plan, like you were saying. Like I think that's what they want it to become. But for right now, it's going to be like they're holding these tryout events all across the country and even in Canada. And that's what it is. And like most guys that get in are going to go to an event, win it, or finish really high and then maybe make the trip. Like I'll be like, how many guys that finish top 3 or whatever on the West Coast are going to be able to make it all the way over to South Carolina?
It'll be interesting to see.
That's going to be interesting to follow, but it's cool because it'll give us some new storylines and like there's a very clear path to the tour, which is always cool. I think it'd be fun. I like the Q Series. It's just fun to say, like, oh, you're playing the Q event.
They need to get it sponsored by Quiznos.
That'd be nice. They kind of took it from like in golf, you have Q School, like that's a thing, but you know, it just stands for qualifying. And I want Q Series merch.
Yeah,
I'll be the first to say it. I want the Q.
Jeff Spring said, our goal with the Q Series is to provide an additional merit-based path to the tour card qualification for upcoming players by inviting competitors who fell just shy of earning their tour card via the world standings. We aim to increase the level of competition at the finale and provide one additional opportunity for up-and-coming players on tour to earn a tour card instead of applying for an exemption.
Yeah.
So in addition to awarding full tour card access, they will also grant silver tour cards, partial tour access to regular season Q Series event winners, and qualify said champions for one future Pro Tour event of their choosing. Tour card access will be granted based on the following achievements. So there's three different ways to earn your tour card. Number one is placing in the top two or top three MPO in the Q Series point standings after the Q Series finale. So that does favor someone who does play multiple events, you know, because you end in the top three after it's all said and done, tour card. Placing first or second in FPO or placing first, second, or third in MPO at the Q Series finale earns you your tour card. Mm-hmm. So those are the people who can earn the tour card. To earn your silver card, you can place third through fifth at the FPO at the Q Series finale, fourth through eighth in MPO at the Q Series finale, or win a regular Q Series event. So those get you kind of semi-exemptions, yeah, but not a full tour card.
That's a funny thing, too. Now that I think about this, too, is like I was saying, there is a couple events over there on the West, which I think is odd to people because the tour's not really going over there. Because, like, remind me, there's one in Washington, Ogden.
Washington and Utah, Missouri, but that's not really West.
So there's two over there and then there's some in the Midwest. But really, because of, like I was saying, how hard it could be for somebody to qualify for the finale but then fly across the country, you know, that's a huge commitment. Really, the biggest advantage is to those who live in the southeastern U.S. because they're going to get to play an event and then be very close to where the finale is if they place well.
Yeah.
So as much as there are a lot of events spread out, the probably the players with the highest chance of at least having an easy way to get themselves to the finale are those that are going to be playing the event right beforehand.
Well, I mean, realistically, if you're a player who's playing in these Q Series events with your end goal being I want to tour next year, you're making the trip.
Yeah,
if you're in a life position, you're ready to commit to full touring the next year, you're willing to commit to go across the country.
That's the most interesting part. They should like take a survey at these things. I want to know how many people. I think it's really cool that the Pro Tour, like, I'm really proud of what they've been able to do and establish these things. I think they're on such a cool path for what they're doing. And it's crazy to see how quickly things are tightening up, how much harder it is already to get on tour and play in these tour events, which is great. But I want to know, like, how many players that go to these Q events, because, like, we want to go to one.
Yeah.
Just because, like, that would be fun.
Yeah.
But, like, realistically, you know, if I were just a local Joe Schmo and I decided I wanted to play one of these events just because it's going to be really cool and there's going to be a lot of good players there, that doesn't mean I'm committed to go play on tour.
Yeah.
So how many guys, A, like, are we going to see a couple guys who stumble onto tour cards and then proceed to not play any tour events the next year because they just, like, play really well and win and be like, I don't want to travel. I got a family. Like,
yeah.
Or, like, how many players are actually going there being like, if I win this, it's my sign I'm going on tour. Like, if I get this card, I'm making it happen.
You know, I think it...
be an interesting
mix. Because what you're also going to see is it was basically in there talking about, like, only X amount of people on the current tour are earning their tour cards.
Right.
People below that can play in Q Series events, and as long as you're not a tour card holder for 2025 already, mm-hmm, you can earn points. So some of the stuff you might see is someone who, like, has been on tour for a while but isn't earning their tour card... and it's like, this is my fight to stay on
tour. That's going to be one of the fun things to track is players that are notable that lose their card, watching them the next year, trying to get it quickly back. Because, like, and the crazy thing is, like, you got to still wait out, sit out the season. Like, if you earn your card,
yeah,
it's
you'll
for the
be able
next
to, you can probably get some exemptions, sponsorship and stuff. But yeah, there might be a lot of big events.
Imagine if they let you in as soon as you got it. So you'd have this scenario where, like, let's just throw out a name. Let's just say,
let's just pick someone who wouldn't be.
Yeah, let's just pick a world where a guy who, let's just say a person who has been playing disc golf for a long time, that's been their living, and then they just kind of drop out one year and lose their tour card. Imagine if they let you in as soon as you get it back. So, like, they're playing these Q Series events, like, knowing that as soon as they win, they could hop back on the tour. Like, they need it. They're like, no, I can't sit out another week. That would be crazy.
But I do think there's, from people that I've just, like, followed on social media, just in the disc golf world, there is a lot more interest in touring because the money's getting more realistic.
Yeah.
To where, like, sure, not everyone's getting fat paychecks, but you see the top guys are making, like, really good living, and you see a lot more guys are making comfortable livings.
Yeah.
To where, like, it's intriguing a lot more people than it used to be, like, hey, you're going to have fun and live in your van, but you're going to be eating rice and beans beans and rice.
I think the biggest challenge with touring disc golf now is because, like, if you're a young guy, especially if you're not going to go to college, like, if you're just get out of high school and you want to give it a shot, I think, like, if you're a talented disc golfer, go for it, right? Like, especially if you can earn that card, get out and do it, because there is a chance that you can do well for yourself. The hardest part about the disc golf touring model now is knowing when it's time to hang them up.
Yes.
Like, you, let's say you get into it, even if you're on the tour, and this might change, like, eventually, like, the goal, and I think we will reach this, is that if you have one of those tour cards, you are making a living.
Yeah.
Like, that just means that you, like, I mean, the PGA Tour, just for having your card, you make, like, 500K. It's their minimum. They've negotiated that, which is awesome. Their expenses are crazy, but, like, still. And there's also some events on the PGA Tour that don't have a cut, so everyone makes money, which is really cool. But the hardest thing is being an 18-year-old. Let's say you tour for 4 or 5 years. You start to get into your 20s a little bit. Okay, I still don't have any work experience. This has kind of been my whole life, and it's just not really working out. That's when it becomes a really challenging decision. But if you're really talented and you're young, like, yeah, if you can get on that tour, do it. Like, before, it was kind of like, well, here's what it's going to be. It's going to suck. But now it's like, if you can play on the tour, like, you should at least give it a season.
Yeah, well, I think that's the goal here is definitely to get down the line where you might be able to make an okay living playing on the Q Series tour or Q Tour. Yeah, Q Series. Kind of like the Korn Ferry Tour or Web.com tour. I don't know what it's called nowadays. Is it just...
It's the web. It's the Korn Ferry.
The Korn Ferry.
Yeah.
So, like you can make a decent living on that. Like, enough to where, you know, you're doing just fine.
Yeah.
I'd like to know. And then you have a chance, though. You know, if I get that tour card, I'm making a living.
Right.
Like, that's the point where I think it eventually wants to get. But it'll definitely create more interesting storylines. Because even, like, a guy who gets their silver card, right, by winning a pro Q Series event, and then next year they get to pick their event, then it's like, if they play well there, they could earn their tour card that way. And that's going to be an exciting storyline when they get there. And then exemptions will also become important of, like, you know, if you win Champions Cup, you get an exemption for blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
To where you could have pros like a Philo Brathwaite, right, where he isn't winning on tour right now. You know, he might be one of the guys who could be on the bubble at the end of the day, tour card wise. But it's like, if he won Beaver State, let's just say he won Beaver State this upcoming year, that might earn him a exemption for 4 tour events,
right?
To where he's on tour, you're gonna see his presence even if he doesn't have a tour card for the next few years.
Yeah, the goal is, you know, get the purses big enough and get those payouts big enough that just earning exemptions is a way to, like, to get yourself some money. Because, like, how many tour cards do we know? How many tour cards there are right now?
I can tell you. Okay. I had to look,
because I was just looking into, like, right now, obviously players can make money many other ways than just earnings, but the easiest way for us to track them is earnings. Because if you can make your money just the way you're playing, that's a very simple
right
way
now
to do it.
Top 45 FPO and top 90 MPO
is 90
in the 2024 world standings will automatically earn 2025 tour cards,
right? So
it's a 90 MPO.
So, like, Brody Smith, for example, he last year, you would say he was like a top 50. Well, that's not even true. Last year on the pro tour standings wise, he was like a top 35 player.
Yeah. Like, he was getting, maybe not 35,
but
top 40. He was getting close.
Yeah.
There was an outside chance.
A lot of the season, he was right on the bubble.
Yeah.
And he only made $10,000 earnings last year.
Yeah.
So right now, if you want to be, let's look at Ezra Robinson.
Well, look at Yui. Yui was last into the tour finale.
Yeah. Good idea.
So he was at the bubble.
Because the kind of the metric you want to look for to really see how sustainable touring is like, if I can just finish top half of the tour or top three quarters, can I make a living off of just what I earn from the tournaments? So Paul Ulibarri last year, because he was last into the tour championship. He made $17,000, which we want to see basically what I'm
you want that number to be at least 30.
We want it to double basically.
Yeah, because at 30, then you factor in you're getting at least a tour series disc. That person, which Yuli obviously is making a completely fine living in disc golf. But if that Ulibarri, if that was Alden Harris, for instance, where they don't have an established name, they don't have established captain of discraft, they don't have a long history resume.
Joe Mez commentary gig.
Yeah, you want that person to still be able to come back on tour next year.
Right. Yeah, that's where it's kind of at right now is just based on earnings. And there are a lot of the top players.
Top players are making good living.
They make solid livings just on their earnings. I mean, I remember times where the best player in the world, you know, could only make $60,000 on earnings if they dominated. And now, I mean, Missy Gannon last year, she made a killing.
Kristen made more.
Well, yeah. Oh, yeah. Kristen made six figures. So but Ezra, she wins every single event. So
Ezra Robinson, made 38,000, almost 39,000 last year.
How is that possible? He was 19th in the world last year.
He played off tour events.
He won a silver.
The most money he made in an event was $6,000 at the Pro Tour Championship, $4,500 at Ledgestone, $3,000 at True Bank. He won an A tier for $3,000.
That's insane. Good for
him. $2,000 at Worlds. Yeah, he just had some decent.
I would
passes.
Say right now, like, so top 20.
The key is he only missed cash on tour twice, USDGC and Music City.
Well, you should look up Alden because apparently he didn't miss cash at all last year. Because if you're like top 20 right now, you can make that living just off of your earnings.
Alden Harris, $35,000. Yeah, so a little less than Ezra.
Consistency pays. That just shows you.
Yeah. But like $35,000, like, yes, is that when you're factoring touring expenses, is that alone covering you being on the road? You might break even on $35,000.
Live on it. Yeah, live on it. Especially when you got guys that they split hotel rooms.
If you're splitting hotel rooms and you're living very cheap.
Yeah.
Because the other thing you have to factor is these events are expensive. I think they're like $300+ to register per one. So
for these guys.
If you don't have, because Alden Harris, you know, has YouTube and he's a big enough player to have good sponsorship where he should have a guaranteed of some type. But if you're a guy who, like, your entry fee is not covered, you got to finish to get bonuses, and like you're not getting guaranteed money.
Yeah.
$35,000. You better hope you got a few bonuses in there.
Yeah.
That's going to be tight. But there you go. That's a kind of where disc golf's at right now. It's better than it used to be.
Checking
that's
in with
disc
golf.
2024 end of season awards and qualification rules have been announced. Nothing too exciting to go into depth here with. Just a few things to point out. First off, the Community Champion Award is a new award, which is going to recognize one FPO and one MPO player for their commitment to growing the sport and positively impacting their community. They also updated which competitors are considered rookies. So a player's rookie season is defined as a season in which they meet any one of the following criteria. Begin the season as a Disc Golf Pro Tour card holder for the first time, or play 6 or more Pro Tour World Standing Points events in a single season, or complete their 10th Pro Tour World Standing Point event overall, or qualify for the Pro Tour Championship. That will set them as a rookie. That's their rookie year. So like that, because then players who have like played a Pro Tour event here and there, you know, but this is their first time touring, it doesn't eliminate them.
They're getting better at the whole rookie thing.
Yeah. I like, you know, if you earned a tour card, then it doesn't matter how many times you're about to play. This is your rookie year. Mm-hmm. Makes sense. 6 or more in a season. Makes sense. So I like that. I like all of those. Player of the year is going to be determined from 33% media vote, 33% world standings, 33% tour card holder vote. Rookie of the year, 33% media vote, 33% world standings, 33% tour card holder vote. First card all stars, top 4 automatically awarded. Second and third stars, media vote, world standings, fan vote, 33% across there. And then comeback player of the year is 50-50 between media and fan vote. Most improved players, 33% media, 33% tour card, 33% fan, and community champions, 100% tour card nomination and vote, tour card player. So that's how the end of season stuff's going to work for the Pro Tour this upcoming year. Like I said, not a huge storyline, but just something. It was news, so I talked about it.
It was news.
All right, we're going to do our predictions for the top 10. This is basically like, how do we think the season's about to go? Who do we think will be the top 10 players come the end of the year? Is essentially how this is going to work. Going into the off season, our power rankings. So like if we would have nailed our predictions right last year, this is what it would have been. We had Ian McMahon 1, Calvin Heimberg 2, Isaac Robinson 3, Gannon Burr 4, Kyle Klein 5, Ricky 6, Matty O 7, Simon 8, Cole Radala 9, Chris Dickerson 10. Now coming into this year, obviously Eagle is in that number one spot because with the injury, he's not going to be back till Champions Cup, I believe. We don't really know what is going on.
Ghost number one.
So he's a ghost number one spot. But beyond that, you know, the list would basically be the same ending last year going into this year because there's not that much to learn in the offseason. But that's not what we're doing. We're predicting, what do we think the end of year top 10 is
going
to be?
It's just so weird going into these seasons and like not really thinking about Paul McBeth.
It is interesting.
It's like, is this what it's going to be like when LeBron's gone? But like, I already kind of started to transition, I guess.
It is crazy watching LeBron dunk with gray hairs in his beard.
He's old.
He's old. He's something. But he still looks like he could play three more years.
If he, for like, a burst. He is as athletic as ever. It's just that he wears on you.
Yeah. He's 38?
Can't play 40 minutes. I think he's 39 maybe.
39, yeah. Goodness. All right. How do you want to do this? Do you want to like just go back and forth or?
We'll just go down the line maybe.
Go down the line? Okay. Do we go 10 to 1 or 1 to 10?
10 to 1.
10 to 1. Can we go 1 to 10?
Yes.
10 to 1 might break my brain.
Okay.
Let's go 1 to 10. That feels more digestible.
That's true because you're going off the dome.
I'm going off the dome here.
So, yeah, that would be difficult for you.
Just 10, I'd like get up to 1 and be like, I forgot that person existed. Can I go back? All right. End of year, who do we think is going to be the number one best player in the world come the end of the season? This is tough. I want Gannon Burr. I think he's going to play very well with a Discmania bag.
I'm going to go with Ricky Wysocki.
Wow, I did not see that coming for Big Trev.
Yep. You have a feeling this is his year. I really do.
All right, number two, I like Calvin. I don't see Calvin going anywhere. Same. And I see him up there.
Calvin number two for me.
Calvin number two for Big Trev. I'll let you go third now.
I have Gannon third.
Okay, so.
I do believe in him, yeah.
You know what? I'm trying to decide. I believe less in Ricky than you do.
Okay. Haters.
I do believe in Isaac Robinson, though. And I think especially end of the year, there's going to be some end of the season bias because we're going to come back.
He's going to win Champions Cup in April, and it's going to take so long.
I like him for Worlds, too.
Yeah.
I think he's going to play good at Worlds. So I like Isaac for my three
spot.
He's
my number four.
He's Trevor's number four, Isaac Robinson. My number four, I'm going to go, just trying to decide. I think I like Ricky at five is where I think I like Ricky. End of season's tough because it's all factored on, like, is Eagle McMahon going to come back as the Eagle of past? I think yes. I like Eagle McMahon four.
You think yes?
I trust the surgery.
He trusts the surgery. My number five is somebody that always ends up in the middle, Matty O. I think he gets one win this year. That's enough to keep him there, and that's where he ends up.
My number five is Ricky Wysocki. I think he's going to be a top five guy. He's going to stay relevant in all the events. He's probably going to pick up a win or two, but I don't know. I like him at five. I like him at five. I'll go ahead and take six.
Okay.
I'll jump back in here. This is going to be my sleeper. Okay, I might regret this, but I want Ezra Robinson.
Yeah, no, I like that. I mean,
I'm picking him over some very, very good players.
Pretty big leap, though. Yeah,
but I think he could push for a win or two.
That's aggressive.
This year. I think if he does that, I mean, he could be higher than six. How crazy would it be if we saw a brother 1-2, Isaac Ezra 1-2 in the
first ever?
I don't think it's gonna happen, but it'd be crazy.
Could. I've got Eagle McMahon into my sixth spot.
It's very fair. For my seventh spot, I'm going with Kyle Klein. I think I have to have him up in there somewhere. I might have robbed him, but
I also have him.
You
at
also
seven.
Have it seven.
He goes quiet for long stretches,
but then he'll do something.
He will though. Yeah, I think he'll sneak in there.
All right, who's your eight?
Number eight, Anthony Barella. I think he finally wins this year. It's just something has to happen, right?
For my eighth spot, got a few good guys that I'm thinking through here. I like Simon Lizotte. I like him.
He is my nine.
He is your nine.
Yep.
All right. Nine for Simon. And I'm going to slide Matty O to my ninth spot. I agree. I think he's going to be consistent. I don't think he's going to win this year. But I think he'll be good enough to be in that top 10.
My final player is Cole Rodolin.
My final guy for my top 10 is Anthony Barella.
So who's your biggest snub?
Adam Hammes is a snub. Cole Rodolin's a snub.
I would say Rodolin's probably your biggest snub.
I'm also Cole Rodolin's number one fan. So
yeah, as far as
here's the thing, there's so many good players that you could go down a list and like you could argue Paul McBeth has a good argument for it. Yeah. Chris Dickerson has a good argument for it.
It's true.
I'm sure we're missing James Proctor has a very good
Proctor
argument for it.
Proctor is a very good argument.
But
he doesn't really win though.
The like where disc golf is right now. There's also like Aaron Gossage, snub off both.
I thought about it.
Where disc golf is right now, there's
Bradley
20
Williams.
Guys
He's
that
like
could
number
easily.
Nine right now in the world.
There's like 20 guys that could easily get into this top 10, maybe even 30.
Yeah, 25 to 30, probably in that range.
And so I feel like we'll be at the end of the year confident, like top three or four guys in the world. I think below that, it's going to be just like everyone has an argument.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be a very competitive, fun season.
I think so.
FPO, we ended last year with Kristen, Owen, Holland, Missy, Haley.
Don't know if I had to do a thing to that.
I think I like that. The only thing I don't know, but I'm not going to predict anything different, is Paige Pierce.
Yeah.
Big question mark on Paige.
When I thought mine through, if I actually had to predict it, I would probably say Kristen, Missy, Owen, Haley, Paige. I think I bump out Holland, and I think I would slide Paige in because I do think that Paige is going to win a couple times.
I'm very interested to see what happens with Haley King this year, because Haley King could have...
I think she'll have a good season.
Talent-wise, she could be phenomenal.
We're not going to do this again.
She could be. So like, that's just year. Where like...
I think she was good last year.
She was good. I'm just saying she could... She has the talent to charge Kristen. She has the talent to dethrone Kristen. She could become the king, if you will. Haley King.
Yeah.
Will it happen? I don't know.
Yeah.
We also, Kristen Tatar, a lot of fanfare this offseason.
Yeah,
a lot of new sponsorships, a lot of new trips, a lot of spa trips.
I'm not willing to jump on that train until
she could come out flat.
If she loses like the first three events and like isn't playing well, then I'll jump on that train. But
I'm not on that train.
I won't do it.
It's just a storyline. It's just a storyline.
It's brewing.
Yeah. Now, I will say a lot of her stuff has been like focused on recovery and stuff, which would allude to the fact that she's doing something to recover from.
Does
which
Kristen
would allude
have
to the fact
an agent? Like, where
definitely.
Where do I sign up for deals? That gig? Like, goodness gracious, man.
Yeah, but
every Estonian company is all over her Instagram page.
Yeah, and good for her.
Yeah,
that's
awesome.
That's incredible. That's
she's
awesome.
Probably like her and Paul are by far like the two most like pro athletes we've ever had. And,
I would agree.
And she probably, like, when you consider, like, pound for pound what she is in Estonia to them, like, that's probably the most significant thing we've ever seen as far as an athlete's influence over their following and country.
Yeah. So.
Pretty cool.
Very exciting. All kicks off this week. To wrap up the show, we got the Silas Select.
I almost forgot.
Silas went out there, picked a disc. It's in this box. If we guess it, we get the bragging rights.
Connor's going to murder us if we guess it right. There's no way he's going to ever believe us.
What are you guessing?
He's so contentious. Give me a Prodigy PA2.
I want a Rock. I want an end of a Rock.
Rock, just the Rock, not the Rock 3.
Not a Rock 3.
Okay, gotta clarify.
Ah, oh, it's a time lapse. Wow.
Ooh.
I didn't know this out there. Didn't know we had these out there.
Sauce, man, he's so good at this.
He's good.
I love the idea that we're always like, dude, Sauce is so good at this when he has like literally almost no chance.
He probably
of
just walks out, doesn't put any thought, just grabs a disc.
No.
Man, like the time lapse.
It was right there for the
taking,
man.
Wasn't on my mind. Great disc, though. All right. We'll see you next week over on the Grip Lock channel. If you're not
subscribed, go subscribe.
And you know what? Next week's going to be an exciting week. Also, Return of Debate Night, Wednesday. That one's posting?
Thursday.
Wednesdays.
I don't care. We're not recording.
We're filming it tomorrow.
Yeah.
It comes out Wednesday or Thursday, Return of Debate Night. Exciting stuff. It's back, baby. We'll see you next week.